This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
So the enemy says, if I go and cut off the head, the body go kill itself. So the enemy now goes on this mission to destroy the apostles. Bible says that James, the brother of John, has been killed. He's been beheaded by the sword. And then here's the problem, because King Herod now, he sees that it pleases the Jews to kill Jesus folk. It's a good political move to shut down God's people. Mm-hmm. It's good politics to hurt God's folk. And that's what's going on in our world. Politicians don't care about us. And they don't care who they hurt, who they got to step over, who gets affected, as long as they get votes. And Herod realizes that the Jews like when I hurt this church. The more I attack their leaders, the more they vote for me and they are pleased with me. See, the politicians, y'all, I'm going to tell you the truth about real politicians. They really don't know their issue. They're just going to say whatever their base wants them to say. Whatever's going to get them the most votes, that's what they do. And so Herod at this time realized that the Jews like any time you will go against this church movement. And they'll create laws and policies to try to shut down the church. Now, I want to bless you today to help you understand why you may have some enemies coming against you. Are y'all interested? Other than just saying, God, go get the glory from it, there's another reason. Perhaps you're catching hell today in your life. I said King Herod the First, King Agrippa, Herod, who's Agrippa, is the leader now. He's the grandson of Herod the Great, who tried to stop the birth of Jesus. King Herod the Great had another son who's the uncle of this Agrippa, who's named Herod Antipas. And he had John the Baptist beheaded. And now you got this Herod, the next generation of Herods, who's trying to kill the church leaders. I'm going to try it one more time. Herod the First, in our text today, his name was Agrippa, number one. He is the grandson of Herod the Great, who in the book of Matthew tried to stop the birth of Jesus, so he killed all the firstborn kids. And now he's also the nephew of Herod Antipas, who had John the Baptist, who we know is the forerunner of Jesus, had him beheaded. What am I saying? There are generations of folk who are taught how to fight progress. They are taught to fight God. They are taught to fight the church. They are taught how to be evil. Who are taught, it's in their blood, it's in their DNA, how to fight progress. If you see evil mamas, you probably got an evil grandma. It's like some of this stuff is family oriented. If one messes, the whole family messes. One lie, all of them lie. One grouchy, all of them grouchy. Because there's not just a fruit, there's a root. And I'm going to say it because this person, New Zion, got some generational Herods in the house. Y'all been fighting everything under Martin. You fussed up under Newman. You fussed up under Ham 1. And you fight under Ham 2 because you're taught how to fight the move of God. It's just what y'all do. It's just what they do. Fight progress. Herod the Great did it. Herod Antipas did it, and now Herod here doing it. They're taught. It's in their blood. It's like they have family meetings. Kill it. Family full of people who hurt progress. They're taught how to hold it down. Problem is,
Jesus was still born. John still preached. And the church keep growing. I wish I had a witness. No weapon formed can prosper. No matter what they try to do, you can't stop God's progress. I thought somebody would get happy about that. Because you're trying to understand why you catching hell and you ain't bothering them. Ask their mama. Ask their daddy. Check their papa. You'll find out why. Sisters, you think about marrying this guy? Check his family. Brother, you trying to see what kind of sister she gonna be? Check them folks. If they throw it off, it's a strong possibility. If he's silly, he got silly somewhere. Mm-hmm. Miss Ron just interviewed their family. Oh. Oh. It all makes sense now. See how y'all getting free today? You trying to figure out what's going on with them. Hey, they were raised to be ignorant. That's why we all need to be new creatures. Because some of us are born with some messed up stuff in us. That's why we got to be born again, because we going to mess around and put that terror on other people, on generations. That's why somebody got to turn the generational curse into a generational blessing. Who wants to say, I'm going to stop, it stops with me. No more lying. No more mess. No more fighting progress. We ain't going to jail. This generation ain't going to jail. This generation will love God. This generation will honor God. This generation will be saved. It stops with me. It's a serious problem. Serious predicament. Because the church's leader is in prison. He's in prison. Their leader, the one been preaching to him, he's in prison. Didn't do anything wrong, but because he did something right, he's in prison. And now he's in an inner prison, and there are 16 soldiers assigned to him. Two chained to him, two watching the others with chains, and they're taking shifts every 6 hours. For a total of 16 guys who are going to be assigned to one man. That's not just locked up. That's really locked up. That's a problem, isn't it? Because the leader is in trouble, in danger. And what do you do when your leader, the one you're receiving God's word or whoever you're getting it from, what do you do when they're in trouble? And it's meant to make the people of God not have hope. Because if I can hurt the head, the body gonna be hurt too. That's why it's important, y'all, to make sure you stay connected and stop playing around. Because the devil is watching that and looking where he can attack and destroy us. Well, but thank God today that God's getting ready to flex. Even though we see the predicament, we all got some predicaments. You get put in a prison, something you ain't do, you're just in it because you're in it. Because of who you are, you're in something. I'm going to try it again. Just because of who you are, because you wake up in the morning, somebody can't stand you. You don't say nothing to them, but they just keep trying to scandalize your name. You ain't bothered them, ain't done nothing to them, but because they evil and you good, they automatically got a problem with you. And I understand I have the same problem. I ain't bothering you. Why you won't shut up about me? I'm going to give somebody a hint. I better leave this alone, but I'm going to give somebody a hint. That's why. Because you don't pay them no attention. Mm-hmm. After this serious predicament, we find now a shared petition. A shared petition. Verse number 5 says, Peter was kept in prison, but the church. Missed it. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. That's real. That's a predicament. Now, I hope I'm not being overly presumptuous to think that it should bother you if somebody you love is in trouble. I don't want to be overly presumptuous, but I assume all of us pretty much say we don't like it when our brother or sister, somebody we love, is dealing with satanic attack. I hope we don't have the approach, it ain't me. Look at what happens, y'all. Verse number 5, the church prayed to God for him. But Peter was kept in prison, but the church was in constant prayer, prayed without ceasing unto God for him. I'm a firm believer that everything that's in the Bible is in there for a reason. Because look how Luke writes it. Peter was in prison, but while he's in prison, the church prayed without ceasing. And then they just prayed without ceasing, they all prayed to the same person. Because some people praying ain't praying to God. Ooh, I better leave that alone. Some people just praying just to be praying, but it's not even directed to God. But Luke says that the prayer is to God. Watch this. And not only is it to the same one, it's for. That you ain't got this going on in this particular situation where some praying for the leader, others praying for their bills to get paid. One of the problems with prayer meetings is we can't get everybody on one agenda because we all don't try to pray about the same thing. Some of us are praying selfish and not praying about the leader and that God's will be done. Some of us just praying for us that we get better. Ooh, I like this text, y'all. I like this text. Look what happens, y'all. And we understand if you keep reading, that it's not at the church that they praying. Because the only place you got power is in the building, you ain't got no power. The same church that meet on Sunday might want to meet again on Monday somewhere else and still can pray. That we can be the church at Walmart. We can be the church at Brookshire's. We can be the church at the ball game. Now I'm not going to let a building take away us being the church. If the only time you can love us and hold my hands at church, baby, you ain't the church. I need about 2 or 3 who come in the name of Jesus and we'll be church all by doggone self. The text don't say who, how many. The text don't say who led it. The text don't say the deacon. The text don't say the preacher. It just say the church. Now, here's my problem. Here's my problem. There's some tension in this text, Lonnie, in verse number 5. There's some tension here, man. Can I show you the tension in the text? Verse number 5 says, Peter was kept in prison, but the church prayed. Y'all missed it. The leader can't get the prayer meeting. But the leader can't prevent prayer meeting. If the only time you can meet and agree in God is when the preacher there, you ain't got too much salvation. Ought to be a church by now who know how to come together and pray for him without wearing him out. Ought to be able to pray with him without wearing him out. He might have his own stuff going on, and we can come together and pray to God together. Can you pray without the pastor? Can you do anything without the pastor? Can you work together without the pastor? Or do you have to be there for y'all tear his thing up? I'm in the text. He in prison. But the real church, somebody say real church. Not just the folks who showed up. The real church says, and maybe that's why they went to somebody's house, because there's too many of them stunting in the church. It might be too many people stunting in the building, so we might go somewhere else where we can all be in agreement, because ain't no sense of coming asking somebody in this house here to pray, because they ain't going to pray the right thing. I like it. I don't know about y'all, but I like this text. You ought to be able to do something without the leader there. They prayed, and here's what I love about it. We don't know what they prayed. We just know what they prayed for. Ooh, y'all got quiet on me now. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Peter was in prison. James then got killed. It ain't looking too good for leaders right now. So you ought to have enough sense to say leadership is under attack. Spiritual leadership, brothers and sisters, is under attack. And we need to get off Facebook and I better leave that alone. We ought to get off this, off the stuff texting and all the stuff treating God's people like they ain't nothing and coming lying on them and being messy and disrespectful and divisive, because it's from their very mouth that you get the promises of God over your soul and in your mind, in your heart. And how you gonna get God's love and God's mercy and you treat them like a dog and disrespecting them and ugly and lying on them and being messy and hateful? How you gonna expect God to bless you like that? Ought to be somebody who can realize and see in their soul our leaders need help. Yeah. We ought to be praying for our leaders that they stand strong, that they be able to stand boldly and declare the unsearchable riches of God's word, not always with that foolishness. Yeah. Don't y'all see it? One of them got killed and the other one should be killed later on that night. Yeah. And what's the church's response to attack to the church? Thanks be to God, this group of people came together. And before we do anything else, we go seek God. Before we call a meeting, we go meet about the meeting. We gonna meet with God before we meet with each other. We gonna meet with God before we meet our next candidate. We gonna meet with God first to help us understand how to handle this situation. Y'all don't like it, but it's good. We kill leadership, but then need. I better leave that alone. We insult leadership, but can't make it without. You know, I learned, Tate, 75% of the people attacking preachers can't read the Bible. I don't want to hear that sermon. You don't even know how to preach. You calling Job Job. Peter's in prison. He's in prison. And you got to trust that God got him while he's in his prison. But while he's in prison, you're under pressure. When you're really connected and your leader going through, you going through. Isn't it amazing how when you go through, you expect the leader to be there for you, but you never even think about the fact your leader might be going through and you might need to be there for them. I came to make you uncomfortable. He in prison, but the church prayed, watch this, without ceasing. We pray till we see some results. Okay, well, I gave him 5 minutes. Now I got to go. I left that stuff in the crock pot going. I got to get back to the house. I ain't come for all this. Shared petition. They all came together to petition God for Peter. We don't know what they prayed, but we know they one thing they did ask, God, we can't get to him. You can. Because look what happens next. A sovereign presence shows up. I'm about to run through it. I'm going to rush through it because y'all mad, so I'm going to rush through the sermon. A sovereign presence shows up. There it is, number three. A sovereign presence shows up. You see, y'all miss your shout. While they're praying, God is producing. While they're praying to God, God answers without the pastor and goes into the prison. And before God got him out, God got in. Yeah. I wish I had somebody in the house who understands what it's like, that God don't always get you out of stuff, but your shout is God getting it with you, that you don't feel like you're by yourself. Something happens when God shows up in your prison that it don't feel like prison anymore. Yeah. Here it is, y'all. Peter is chained in the inner prison under some watches. Guards are watching him. But you can't guard against God. You can't block God. If God want to get in there, guess what? He going to get in there. Bible says that an angel shows up. An angel of the Lord shows up in the prison. And you know what I love about God? He don't, when he really trying to deliver you and he really want to flex, he don't have manners. He don't knock on the door. He come open the door and say, I'm here. What you going to do? A light shines. And do you know what's going on, though? While the Lord is showing up, Peter sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you mean tell me this man's on death row, facing the death penalty in a few hours, and his response to this trouble he in is sleep? Yo, he's sleeping so hard, the angel had to hit him. It's right there. He called, the light didn't wake him up. So the angel had to hit him. Hey, put your clothes back on. Y'all ain't got your Bible open, yo. Peter is asleep. Now, if I know I'm facing death, I'm not putting this on y'all. Talking about me. If I know that any given moment, the next few hours, could be it, I ain't going to sleep. Y'all can be super spiritual all you want. You can be deep all you want. As for G. Tamel Hams, I tell you right now, if I know that I'm facing death row and the next few hours is it, I'm finna order stuff off DoorDash. I'm going to sit there and dash me a steak, a potato. It ain't going to kill me if I'm going to get killed anyway. Ain't no sense in my cholesterol being worried about nothing. Ain't no sense worried about no blood pressure. If I'm going out anyway, mama going to give me some chicken, huh, honey? But one thing I won't be doing is sleeping. Because I might sleep too long and can't get up. So before they put me to sleep, I'm going to stay up. But Peter is sleeping. And he's in a deep sleep. Can I suggest why? Because Peter was told by Jesus back in John chapter 20 that you're going to live to be old. I'm going to try it again. When Jesus came and told Peter to feed my lamb and love my sheep and feed my lambs, he said, you're going to live to be an old man. Now, that was years prior, yet Peter held on to what Jesus told him years before. And even though he's facing death in a few hours, he goes to sleep because he's trusting in the promises of God. I wish I had somebody in Zion who know that until God, when he promised me, come to pass, I'm not going to die. Ain't nothing going to happen because God promised me. And if he promised me, I ain't going nowhere until it happens. Tell your neighbor, go to sleep tonight. Peter is asleep while in prison. Y'all missed a shout on that one. Now you know why some of us can't get happy? Because we don't know what God told us. You have no idea because you live in the moment so much, you don't know what the Lord already done told you. You want new revelation, but you ain't received what he told you yesterday. Don't receive what he told you last year. But I need about three people who remember what God told me 5 years ago, and I'm still holding on to that promise, and I will not go. No, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. He is not a man that he should lie. Let me let you go. He shows up. The angel shows up and hits him. He had to hit him and wake him up. Say, hey, wake up. Get dressed and come on. The angel shows up in prison with light and a word. You missed it. Even though Peter's in prison, the Lord still showed up to his prison with a light and a word. Okay. Who don't mind admitting you in a storm right now? You in a personal prison right now. You ought to be shouting out that chair because you are under the light of God's word and you're hearing God's word. So whatever it is, it can't stop God from getting to you. job. He hit him, and he says, put your clothes on, because you sleeping so hard, you got your night nights. Put back on your garments, and put back to being who you supposed to be. I got a question for you, though. Y'all want to know how he did it? Can I tell you how he's able to be able to put his clothes back on and dress himself? Because when the angel touched him, the chains fell. Y'all missed it. You missed your shout. The reason why he could do it for himself is because the chains have been broken by God's presence in his life. Is there anybody here who can thank God that he showed up and broke some chains? Here it is. Wait a minute. Because we all about to separate in just a second. Sit down, because we're finna separate in just a minute. Because part of this, understand, y'all, the chains didn't just break. They broke off some people. God's touch broke the chain, not just the chain, but it broke the ungodly attachment to people who are not meant for my destiny. And part of God touching you is breaking chains and killing these connections and these attachments that can't go. Hey, are y'all listening to me? Sometimes it ain't your chain, it's who you chain to. And God done broke that chain, but you don't want to let them go. But notice, I didn't get chained to them till I got in prison. It's where I'm not supposed to be that I got the wrong attachments. And we keep trying to make ungodly attachments be some God won't. He might be fine, but he ain't faithful. She might be pretty, but she ain't prayerful. And you're trying to make chains work. Uh-oh, I told y'all, that's why I told you to sit down. Because we're getting power at church and go back and live defeated, fooling with people. I'm thankful that God loves us enough to break the chains for us, because the truth for some of us, we ain't gonna break them on our own. Say amen if you receive that. It took God breaking it because you ain't have enough wisdom to know how to break it yourself. Yo, I gotta show you something. Peter was the only one saw the light and felt the touch. The guards didn't even see or feel nothing. Because it was for Peter's deliverance. Not the guards' deliverance. There are some things God doing in your life and talking to you about. You don't need confirmation through people who God ain't talking to, who ain't talking to God. I want to help my church because I love y'all so much. Stop talking to carnal people about godly things. Because they're killing your dreams. They're killing your momentum. They're killing your excitement, your enthusiasm, because you want them to get happy like you happy, but they don't know God like you know God. So thank God he'll break the chains for you. But you got to be willing to walk away. Okay, I knew it. It was like a crescendo of claps. Because it's one thing for them chains to be off you, but it's another thing to walk away. And look what the angel told Peter, follow me. And you got to walk away for what's trying to keep you bound. Because some of us be tied in so long, we think that's where we're supposed to be. Sometimes we get comfortable in prison. And we don't trust somehow to be free because we're more comfortable being in prison. At least I know what they expect. But I got a problem here, Peter. I give Peter credit. Peter got good sense. Because he know by morning time, when God give me an exit, I better go and take it. Because they got the court waiting on me in the morning. Yo. Fred, there go another moment, Fred. If you don't go and go when the Lord tell you now, you might not get next year. Because the enemy wants you tomorrow. Because, see, people who can't follow God ain't ever going to follow you. Man who honor God will never be a good man to lead you. A woman who don't honor God and submit to God, dude. I better leave alone. Unhealthy attachments in your life. God broke them chains, but you won't walk away. I better leave that alone, but that's a real good point. But I don't know who it's for in this house. And you talking about Lord help. The Lord said, I have. And you can't say you ain't see it because I turned the light on. I came with the light so you'll know it's me, which means that what you was in is darker than what I'm bringing. He walked him out, and while he was following this angel, he's going past the guards. They trying to watch out for me, but can't see me. Because God blocking you from seeing my deliverance. Because when God got you, it's some stuff he ain't going to let the enemy see while he's doing it in you. Okay, any of y'all remember old school Walmart? Old school Walmart, you take a picture with the old camera like that made it look, and you take the little film out, and you take it back there to the back, and you gave him the little film thing, and you had to wait a few days to get it, get your pictures back in a little envelope. Y'all remember that? They have a place back there in the back then called a dark room. And they take the film in the dark room because too much exposure to the light will ruin the picture. And so it's got to stay dark long enough so they can work the work to make your picture look better. But by the time it's ready to get to you, it can handle the light and the exposure. Come here. God ain't forgot about you. He has got you in the dark room because the enemy can't see what God want to do right now. It's too soon to expose everything God is doing because you might stop believing. You might run away. But when God is ready to bring you out, you can handle exposure. Glory, let me let you go. He brings them past the first ward, second ward of soldiers. They send that thing they bad too. We got him. Because, see, y'all know we got another problem here with Peter. Peter remembers what Jesus told him in John. But, see, in chapter 5, Peter got a habit of getting out of jail. I'm going to try it again. In chapter 5, Peter was put in prison. And the Lord brought him out. So the enemy knows if I got to go and watch him and put most stuff on him because he got a habit of getting out of my trouble. I wish I had somebody who could thank God today. Every time then the enemy keeps trying stuff and you keep getting out. He's trying to hurt your witness and you keep praising. You keep on getting out of trouble. Y'all miss your shout. That's why you're standing here today. That's why you're sitting here today looking at me with your won't say man self. And you ought to be thanking God that at least he got you out of it. You had to go through it, but he brought you out. And that's why the devil mad and I turn up the heat because you keep getting out of it. You don't even want to receive this today, but you have survived 100% of your storms. Every storm, every difficulty, every hardship, you have survived it. It didn't feel good. You got some scars. You got some bumps and bruises. But here you are saying you survived it. You know why? Because you got breath in your body. And that means no matter what the devil tried to do, you still got life. Because the Lord keep bringing you out. I look back over my life and I keep seeing how God brought me out, how God keep opening doors. See, y'all missing it. I told you, I know why you ain't liking this. Because the whole title of this sermon is the Lord flexing. But see, we want to flex. But when the Lord flex, ain't no glory to be given up but to him. You can't brag on it. You can't tell everybody. You can't be arrogant. All you know is I once was blind, hey, but now I see. I once was weak, but now I'm strong because God did it again. Here it is. I gotta quit. I gotta quit. I gotta quit. I gotta quit. But watch this. Watch this. Peter's walking, following the angel. Lonnie, I'm about to shout, man. Peter's following. He think he in a vision. He think he in some kind of dream world, not knowing God got him. Peter's sleeping so hard, he still think he's sleeping while the Lord delivering him. Watch this. And the more he walks, watch this, doors keep opening. The more he follows God, doors keep opening. The more he keeps following God, he don't have to open the door. The door's open because God is doing it. Is there anybody here who can think about times in your life when nobody but God opened that door? Because if man had his way, he wouldn't open that door. They would keep you locked out. But when God is your God, when God is your promise keeper, doors are open. Here it is. The more you walk, the more doors open. The more he walks, the more doors open. The more he walks, the more doors open. Y'all missing it. The more he followed, the more doors open. Just keep walking. Keep trusting. Keep believing. And doors will be open. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Kept walking, and doors keep open. You worrying about how you gonna figure it out, and God already opened it. But you can't get to the opening until you learn how to follow God. You can't put, see, if you are walk by faith, you can't put your toe in to see what the water feel like. You're gonna step and get your feet wet and trust him. Uh-huh. Some of us don't trust him. We think we're running to the gate, and we're gonna be found as a failure. But how can you fail walking with God? Why would he take you somewhere and let you fail when his name is on the line? I'm done now. It was a serious predicament, a shared petition, a sovereign presence. But now, y'all, I'm about to get happy about this because here comes sufficient proof. I got to figure this out. I got to figure this out. Because Peter kept following the angel until he got to that straight street. And when he got to that straight street, the angel left him. In prison, the angel led me out. But I'm out, and the angel leaves. While I'm in it, the Lord had to get me out. But I'm out. I just got to walk and trust God for myself. But watch what he does. I'm telling you, when God flexes, God work out stuff, you don't know how he work it out. While you telling God's business, I'm a living witness. He handles yours. Y'all missing your shout. Y'all missing your shout. Wait, y'all, correct me if I'm wrong, but then we all as an aggregate group agree that the people of God were praying for Peter? They're praying, God working it out simultaneously. But how are we going to know this thing work unless these two trains meet? Peter resolves to go to John Mark's mother's house. But no one texts him, where we at? Peter got delivered and didn't go to church, but he went to the church. But what kind of GPS system, what kind of, how did they send a location to say where they were? Or when you connected to your people, you know where they are and you know what they're doing. Nobody told Peter to do this. He resolved because he's connected to his people. And he goes to where they're praying. Because at some point, somebody help me today. At some point, prayer meeting ought to become praise meeting. Peter goes to the house. And he knocks on the door. And says, it's me, Peter. This little slave girl named Rhoda, she's too amazed to open the door, so she go back and tell the elders. Sit down on this one, because y'all ain't gonna like this. Sit down. She went and told the older folk, the ones who too busy. Hey, y'all, Peter out there. Y'all, and I don't know by his knock, I know him by his voice. Ooh, Jesus, Lord, deliver us from people who don't know our leader's voice. Ooh, Jesus, Lord, deliver us today that when the voice show up, we understand we got victory. Y'all, Peter kept knocking again, and she telling the people, y'all, Peter out there, they tell her, hush and stay in a child's place. Y'all better stop overlooking these kids, because these kids done heard something y'all ain't hearing. Y'all so busy praying and doing church business that she having the business of the church. She realized we done prayed, and the answer done showed up at the door, and somebody come open this door. Watch this, y'all. The young lady is so passionate in what she says. The people, somebody say the people. The same church that was praying, I gotta teach it right. The same church that was praying wasn't expecting. See why I told you don't praise yet? The same church that was doing all that hollering and praying without ceasing wasn't even expecting the answer. I'm in there. When the last time you expected your prayer to be answered? Because, see, if you pray, he already told us, if you pray anything according to my will, I'm going to do it. So why are you praying something you don't believe is going to come to pass anyway? God's not a wishing well. He's God. And I believe many of us are praying prayers we don't believe will come to pass. We just know it's the right thing to do. And don't believe he'll do it. They told this little girl, when they just start talking amongst themselves, that's probably his ghost. Well, if that's the case, if it's a ghost, that means you believe he got killed. If you say it's his ghost, that means he died and the ghost showed up and started knocking. But you can believe a ghost will knock. But you can't believe an answer can be showing up. You don't believe God will answer your prayer. You believe God will give you an appendix to your prayer. Y'all got quiet then, didn't you? If you're going to believe him all the way through. Lord, have mercy. Look how y'all looking at me. I prayed about it, but are you expecting? Now, y'all had that long prayer meeting, and the Lord done answered your prayer, and you won't even believe. And the answer right there at the door. Y'all missed it. I don't think y'all seeing this. The answer is at the door, knocking. But you're telling the knock, be quiet, because we waiting on the answer. That can't be the answer. We waiting on the answer. Hush, little girl. We waiting on the answer. The answer here? No, there ain't no answer. Ain't no answer gonna come that quick. That's a ghost. So who knocking then? Now, if she the only one hearing the knocking, how far had the rest of them got from the door? How consumed you done got with church work that you're not looking for the answer to come through the door? I believe alone because y'all mad. Because you praying stuff you don't believe is going to come to pass for you. I done got all up in the house now, ain't I? And then what do you do? That's the question for you to ask yourself tonight. When God does say yes, are you even ready for God to answer your prayer? I love faint claps. Because that means you're thinking and you're convicted. Because you done prayed some stuff and really believe, fasting and all that, and then don't even expect God to do it. So in other words, you go do the right thing for God, and don't think God gonna do right by you. So sometimes God go flex just to show his people. Because y'all letting the world mess you up so much, I'm gonna show y'all I'm still God. And so Peter shows up to prove to the people who have been praying for him, God did it again. When God flexes. Now, this is for free. I ain't gonna charge you for this. This is for free. What about the enemies? What about Herod, who tried to set you up, put you to death? What about them folk that was chained to you and assigned to your death? Now they got an answer to each other about what happened to you. You out, but they still got to deal with the fact you got out again. Herod dies, and because the soldiers couldn't hold on to their prisoner, according to law, they got to be put to death. Be careful about digging ditches. Because it might just be your plot. With your name on it. I'm done now. Look, I offer Christ to you. I offer Christ. But God wants to flex in your life. But you got to give him your life. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I offer him to you today. Won't you come to him and give him your life? A Christian life is not a life that's absent or devoid of problems. But it's a life that lets you know Jesus will be with you while you're in your problems. He'll see you through. He'll see you out. He'll see you while you're in. That's part of the benefits of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're not saved today, if you've not made that confession and don't believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins, raised on the third day, make that confession and belief, you're saved. Now, don't stop it just getting that water, getting baptized. Gotta learn how to live saved. So, for those of us who are saved, but you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord. Because you're tired of trying to be in a prison, trying to fight it yourself. Maybe you got some chains, some things that are attached to you that you need to get free of today. Today's your day to come to this altar. Let the Lord meet you right where you are in your prison. Don't be ashamed. Hey, y'all, if Peter was a preaching apostle in a prison, means you and I can go to some sometimes too. But thanks be to God, God will throw his weight around and he'll flex on the devil and let him know who's really God, who's really got you. If that's you today, won't you come? You need God's help. You need God's assistance. You need God's strength to be free. Not just to be free, but to walk away from it and not be trapped in something that you can't handle. On your own, you can't do it. But with the Lord's help, you can do it all.
or you hear my brother, or you hear my sister. We ask now to be no unnecessary walking. In this critical time, please, please, no unnecessary walking during this time. It's very critical. Very critical. Somebody's life is on the line. And we don't want any distraction to somebody making a decision about their life. Won't you come? Won't you come? My brother, my sister, won't you come to God today? Are you here? Are you here, my brother? Are you here, my sister? Baptism, another Christian experience. You want to have prayer? Won't you come? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Chains. Indeed, it is a blessing.
It's just a blessing.
Praise Him.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. I am free.
Now, if you're free, you ought to sing it like you're free. Chains holding me.
No more chains holding me. My soul is resting.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
It's just a blessing.
Praise Him.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. I am free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me.
My soul.
My soul is resting.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just a blessing.
It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. I am free.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I'm free.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God's getting ready to flex in your life, give him an expected praise.
Hallelujah.
If you're expecting God to flex in your situation,
hallelujah,
give him glory like you're excited about. When God's getting ready to throw his weight around in your life, whatever it is, whoever it is, God's getting ready to flex. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In my mind, in my home, on my job, in my body, in my finances, in my church, in my community. Bless your Lord. Bless your Lord. Flex over this sickness. Flex over my lack. Flex over my struggle. Flex over my weakness. Flex over it, God. Flex. Nobody but you can do it. And we trust you to do it. And we give you glory in advance. In advance, we give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Flex, God. Your power. Your power. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior